go. What's up, George? What's going on in the House of Craze tonight?
Quack, quack. We have Mr. Hugo Bravo on tonight, and we're going to be talking about dressing to impress.
Oh, damn. That set just cancels me. Let's do this.
Show for independence all around, giving you a platform to spread your word all over town. Cast the Craze is the place to promote to your fans with the dream of Medina and Sam the Crazy Man. Subscribe to our show and never miss an episode. It's time to get your match. Listen to us on the go. Updated every week. We never miss a day. Join the squad. Come on in. It's time to cast the Craze. If you are an independent,
cast the Craze.
Making moves on your own.
Cast the Craze.
On your grind in the streets.
Cast the Craze.
Join the movement.
Cast the Craze.
Yeah, George, we did it again. Come on now. I know you want to do it. Cast the Craze. Welcome to Catch the Craze Podcast. I'm your host with the most, Sam the Crazy Man Vera, and I am with
George the Dreamer Medina. What's happening, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of Catch the Craze. We are going. Wow. It is May 13th, Friday the 13th.
Word.
And we are going to be talking to a buddy of mine. His name is Hugo Bravo. Incredible painter. He does book covers. He did. One of the covers he did was a cover for and for all hip hop heads from back in like the 90s, Jebu the Damager. He did that CD cover or album cover at the time, which just sold on Sotheby's. So he's going to be talking to us about, you know, his process, his come up. He's got a book called, I get the name of the book, it was Vision.
Yes, it's called Vision Illustrated.
Vision Illustrated, yes. We're going to be talking to him about that. And, you know, get your meds. Today will be about dress to impress. And we'll explain that a little bit, but before we go into all of that, and if you are interested in, you know, conversations with independent artists and things of that nature, subscribe, hit the like button, comment, hit the bell so that you know when we will be live. In some cases, we do on Wednesday evenings. We like to go live. And on Thursday mornings, we also go live with a show. So make sure you subscribe to the channel and catch all of that fun stuff.
Word.
Sammy, what's going on, brother? How you doing?
How am I doing? Yo, dude. Yeah, so yeah, Texas is a trip, bro.
Yeah, what's going on?
So they got these bugs. They got these bugs.
Yo, bug situation out there.
So I have to have in my house these plugins that I have that zap in the air. It sends out like sonar.
What? And so
when I wake up in the morning, all you see is bugs all over the counter that are dead. Flying these. I'm killing everything. And I'm sorry. I'm going to go to hell. But yo, I wake up in the morning, just like 50 corpses all over my kitchen counters, because what happens is you open up the backyard door, they fly in, because we live by a lake. So all of these things, I got geckos, but the bug that I'm talking about is crazy. So you've seen beetles, right?
Yeah.
So this looks like a giant flying beetle that's kind of like a reddish color. It's like a mix between a beetle and a ladybug. But these mother effers, I guess on their way to die, they kamikaze. And they every night that I go into the yard, I get hit. Pop, pop, pop. Flying kamikaze, bang. They hit the floor and they're on their back and they die. It's almost like they're falling to die. But they're falling and hitting me. I guess it's like to cushion the blow.
Yo, I don't know. What the hell?
Yo, I was like this, yo. I ran inside. I was like, pop, pop. I was like, what the hell? I run inside. I look at the ground. I was like, what the hell is that? And they're flying to die, bro.
What the freak, dude? Like, why are they flying at you, though?
I don't know. I've never seen anything like that.
There he is, muchachos. Boom.
When I opened up the garage door, I don't know. They all fly in. It's like these big. They look like,
dude,
they look like giant-sized mosquitoes. They're bigger than mosquitoes. They're big. But apparently, they don't sting. And they're not mosquitoes. They're harmless. But they're these big, giant things. And they fly in.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, dude, you got to get out. You're going to die in here. Because when I close that thing, it's done. and they fly in there to die. You know, it's crazy.
Interesting. I mean, listen,
you should write a book. I was like, write a book. I'm living the book.
You should totally write a book, bro.
I've never seen shit like this in my life.
Oh my god. Wow.
I didn't have these problems in Jersey. Jersey, I had, you know, the millipedes, you know, the daddy long legs, legs. I had those, I had spiders, and ants.
Yo, how old was your house in Jersey?
100 years.
It was 100 years.
It was built in 1906.
Damn. And this one that you're in is modern.
This one is I think 15 years old, 15 or 20 years old.
Difference, dude. Now listen, I've been to your house. This one is a lot bigger than the other one. Do you miss the one in Jersey at all?
No.
Nothing, huh?
I missed when we first bought it. Okay. I missed when he first, because it was definitely an upgrade for where I came from.
Right, right.
You know, it was like, oh yeah. Snap, looks like
I got my own house. Yeah, you know, have like, your own house. You're a homeowner.
Wow, I'm a big kid now. Right. So it was an upgrade from what, you know, because we were married and we went from apartment to apartment to apartment. Then we bought a condo from hell. And so then to have all that space, but it wasn't functional because it was built so many years ago. So all the rooms are I don't know what the, they were separated, right? So the kitchen.
you sound like Porky Pig right now. Come on.
What I liked about it, you know, number one, we had space, and I love the neighborhood.
Wow.
You know, the neighborhood, I remember every time I would walk my dog. When I first moved in, me and my dog would go out at 5 a.m. It's pitch black outside, and we'd walk. I'd walk them at least a good 10 blocks in 10 blocks. And we see the same runners at that time in the morning. And we see deer and buck, you know, and all that stuff is beautiful. And I loved Christmas there in the neighborhood. It was beautiful. That strip that I lived on was gorgeous. So that I miss. I miss the winters. The way it looked. It looked like a Wonderland, you know.
Yeah.
You know, here you don't get much snow. You get ice. Here you can. I don't know what's up. We got Mr. Freeze up in here.
Yo, you got some serious like sleet out there. Like,
yeah, we get ice and hail. We get jacked up. And so I do miss that. But here, what I love is like this office that I have. It's probably the best office I've ever had. It's the most functional layout for me. The house is so positive. The energy, the neighborhood is so positive.
Yeah. It's quiet over there. That's real.
Yeah, it's quiet. I mean, you get sun every day. Yeah. You know, so it's very different. I love it here. I don't. Well,
but you had like the man cave you had in Jersey was the joint though. That last studio you put together.
Yeah.
That one was not. I mean, this one's smaller. You know what I mean? Obviously, you can't fit a big table there, but it's good for what for your needs.
Yeah, yeah, that yeah, yeah. That, it was funny how I built my Joe Rogan esque studio. I only have it for a couple of months.
That was it. We did like one live show, two live shows from it, and that was it. It happened like that, bro. Like the move was like that, dude.
Yeah, and if it wasn't for COVID, who knows what would have happened? It was because of the lockdown. Because I lost my job, she lost the job, and we had to make a radical decision. And I was like, you know what? If we stay here, we're going to be bankrupt because the house was so old. It required a lot of upkeep, and it was bleeding me dry. So all my savings was going, and so I was like, yo, we just gotta
money pit.
Let's capitalize now because we can get a house out here and we can sell our house and make a profit if we do it the right way. And that's exactly
you did, man. Rational decisions, man. Speaking of rational decisions, Sam.
Rational.
So next week, is it next week?
Is it?
You're gonna be somewhere. No, 2 weeks. 2 weeks from actually, no, a week from Wednesday. No, a week from Tuesday.
Yeah, a week from Tuesday, yeah.
You will be at a big Shanat. Listen, Licensing Expo 2022. This isn't like any other convention that happens every year, you know, where you go and sell your comics and you have a good time, meet some people, fans, blah, blah, blah. This is the corporate joint. This is the mother of all, you know, business deals. If you want to get discovered, if you want to do stuff like that, I think this is one of those shows where you say, I got to throw my hat in that ring. And you're throwing it. So what's up? You ready?
I will be, you know, by the time I get there, I have no choice. Yeah, it's just big grinding. For anybody out there who they're like, oh, you know, that sounds like fun. Look, dude, here's the real thing. You got to save your pennies. It's a big cost. It's a big expense, huge expense. And it's like school tuition. I mean, it's like, it's big expense.
This is big boy stuff.
Yes. And this isn't, you're not selling, you're not going to make money there. What you're hoping to do is to make the right connections to be able to enter the conversation. You want to get your product into the boardrooms where the decision makers will decide its future. That's what this is about. This is about pitching. It's about, the costs around it, you know, it's tremendous. But the work that you was required to be ready for something like this is very different than a Comic-Con. You know, if you're buying a booth, it's 10 feet by 10 feet that you have to have everything fully, you know, customized.
Yeah. And that's actually why the topic that we're going to be talking about in a little bit, talk about Dressing 10 Press, it has to do with this. But, these are two different worlds now because you're used to doing it one way. You got to do it different. And the setup and obviously all the buildup and what you have to do, the printing, because you still have to print product, but not for sale. Right. So that's a little different.
Here. You're printing product that you're going to give away. You know what I'm saying? So, there are terms like you have to have a press kit. You have to have a pitch deck. You have to have, if you're trying to get your films, you have to have your books converted into screenplays, script format. You know, that requires a lot of work. You know, have to have prototypes, all these things that you're trying. If you're trying to get a toy license deal, you need to have prototypes, show them what it's going to look like. If you're trying to get a trading card game, you have to have that developed and show them, you know, the potential. If you, whatever it is you're trying to do, you need to have the mock-ups presented there to be able to show, because people don't want to hear, they want to see. It's a visual, it's a medium. So you get, you know, the meetings are 30 minutes, right? Yeah. So you get an opportunity to meet with people 30 minutes at a pop. You got that time, you know, to really nail it. And, and the butterflies got to go. And, you know, it's don't be yourself. You got to be beyond yourself, because there's a lot of cats out there that if you're being yourself, you know, don't go to Expo. Really have to be an alternate personality to be able to, you have to be engaging. You have to be, likable, and you have to be hyper, you got to really believe it, because these guys, they have the checkbooks to millions of dollars and, you know, they're going to say, why am I going to invest it in you?
Right.
Who the hell are you? You know, who the hell is this? Right. So I think that's the biggest thing. And that can create shell shock. That can really shut you down, you know? Yeah. So, I can tell you right now, just leading up to it, I got my stomach. I feel like I'm going to throw up every day leading up to it because it's so important. You know, this is such a huge investment. So important. But it's, if you want to stay as a comic creator, this is not for you. If you're looking to become a multimedia developer, something that's, you know, you take your brand like Charles Schulz and go out there, then you need to go and put yourself in the faces of the agents, the acquisitions teams, the people that are going to make the decisions. And my purpose is really to find representation.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, that's what it's all about, man. And again, you're going out there, you're printing the product that you got to print out, and it's not for sale. It's just for, hey, here, this is what, you know, let me put this in your hands. Let me show you what, what you got. And actually, are you bringing, you showed me that dope ass book, bro. Are you bringing that with you? Are you taking any copies with you?
Yeah. So
show them. Ooh, look at that.
It's forbidden The whole 160 pages. This is fantastic. Even boom, look at that. Forbidden, the Cursed Reborn. This is the back cover. And this is the black and white edition.
Yeah.
And but I mean, look how beautiful the black and white pages look.
Yeah. But that gives anybody who's interested in the product, you know, a good, obviously you have the whole book there. This is it.
I have the whole book. So, you know, I'm taking about 25 of these with me. Hoping to get it in. And so anybody who's like, you know, do you have the products? I can take it and read it. Boom. Yes, here it is. You know, so not only will I have the book, I'll also have a first draft screenplay. I'll also have my pitch deck, you know, everything. I'll be ready for every session. So that's the biggest thing. It's, you know, it requires a lot of time, a lot of investment.
And listen, we're going to talk a little bit more about it during Get Your Meds, but I also wanted to, you have, Duty's coming back for part two. So let's talk a little bit about
Darius.
Bam!
Since you asked about Duty, really? Where is
it? Hit him up.
Hold on. I'll give you Duty.
Toma.
Have you signed up for issue two?
The music is so funny, bro. Yeah, so boom, issue two is coming. So make sure you sign up. May 31st will be the launch of the Kickstarter for issue two. So that is great. So,
and there's a special incentive. There's a special incentive for all you Darius fans. If you back Wonder Duck and you back There's Nailing in My Toilet, you will get this refrigerator magnet. Of Duty, Super Duty, with the diabolical egomaniac overlord nemesis Poopoo in the background. So you'll get that magnet for your refrigerator as a free gift, as a thank you for banking both campaigns.
There you go.
And not only that, if you backed issue one and you come back for issue two, you'll get that as well. You'll still get that. So so for new piece, if you backed both campaigns, you'll get that. And for returns, you'll still get it free. So that's added into your box.
Boom, physical tiers only.
I'm assuming, yes,
you got to mail that out. Yeah, no, that's dope. And speaking of Wonder Duck,
yeah,
woo, the campaign is live right now.
Yes,
right now it's live right now. So make sure that you go to the link in the show notes and show me some love. You know, pledge to the campaign.
Show them something.
Show me some. It ends on June 1st, so you still have a lot of time to get up there.
Yeah, congratulations on being funded.
Oh, yeah. Listen, we're filming this in the past, okay, for the future, okay, in the present. So hopefully by the time this airs, because obviously the campaign, you know, launched on May 4th, it was
it'll great, be funded on day one. Show.
Hopefully everything's there, and we're going towards stretch goals. Now let's check this out. So I will be on a couple of shows next week. On Sunday night, I'm going to be on Ruxplode's show, Ruxplode. I will be there. It's a live show, and it's going to be at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8 p.m. Central for Sammy. Ruxplode is the name of the show. Make sure that you guys go and sign up. You know, give him a subscription. It's on YouTube, Ruxplode. He's also on Facebook, so make sure that you go there. And yep. I will be on his show. It'll be live. And then on Monday, I will be on Raging 2 with the girls, Nita Lanning and Daphne Lage. So I will be on their show, and that's at 11 o'clock in the morning. That's Eastern Standard Time, and it's 10 a.m. where you are, Sam, Central Standard Time. So make sure you check that out, Raging 2. And then I'll be on Ted Davies at 10 a.m. That's not live. That's pre-recorded, but I will be on his show. It airs on that Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. with Ted Davies Talks. So that's going to be fun. And now, listen, for all those people who go and watch the shows and then pledge while the show is happening. Now this is supposed to be a stretch goal print. Okay. This guy right here.
That is sweet.
Big shout out to my man He Rodriguez. Hector, I've known him for a long time. He hooked that up. You're getting a lot of you know, whatever. But yeah, that piece is dope. So I'm giving that piece away to all anybody who pledges while I'm on the show. If you pledge while I'm on the show, that's going right into your basket. It's going in there. I'm sending it to you. If we've already reached that stretch goal, which I doubt.
Framed? You're sending it framed?
No. It's just going to be a print. It's the 8x10 print. Yeah. But you can make it look like that.
That's why I clarify.
Yeah. No, you're going to get that.
You show me a frame, buddy.
Yo, what's up with that frame? No. Yeah. It'll be the 8x10 print. It's going to be the hard card stock. It's going to be similar to the card stock as this. So make sure that you pledge. This is one of the covers, the homage cover from Mr. Yeah. Joe
that's
Holly,
be your number one Southern cover.
Yeah, I love this, man. This is an homage, obviously, to Amazing Spider-Man 300 by Mr. Todd McFarlane. Big shout out to Joe Holly who hooked that up, and Victor Claudio did the colors for that bad boy. So,
so much better over the years, man.
Oh, Vic is amazing, dude. He's got he's worked on it. This is the other cover. This is the cover that I did. He did the colors on that one too.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, inks by Alex Rivera. So big shout out to him. Thank you very much, Mr. Alex. And the other cover, which is the main cover, you can see it on the I don't have an actual print of it on me. But yeah, a lot's going on. Hopefully you guys can, get out there, hook it up. But that's what's happening with the Adventures of Wonder Dog. Let's talk a little bit about,
Yeah, I know. I'm getting kind of wheezy.
Yeah.
It's time for your medicine.
Woo. Dress to impress. How do you stand out at a show?
Yeah. So, Sam, you're going to a big show. This is like the gala. What are you going to wear? What are you going to do?
It's funny because when you look at the expo and you look at the crowd shots, at the everyone's business, right? They got the collared shirts. They got they got the ties. Uh-huh. They got the khaki. They got the dress pants. And I'm going to be there with a baseball cap with the company logo, with the shirt with the graphics. Promoting everything that I'm there for, so like I got a shirt with all the logos, and then I got another shirt with just the crazy media group in the front, but in the back has a different graphic, whether it's duty or whatever. So I'm going there and and basically the theme is white sneakers, white baseball cap, white shirt, and whatever beige or blue or black pants. That's it. And, I'm going there with a message, to really, I want to be fun. While everybody looks a little stuffy, I want to be fun and just promote. So, and then the booth, it's fire. I got, floor to ceiling, 10-foot by 10-foot graphics all across the entire, the booth. So that's going to stand out, then I got the bags. I got the giveaway bags and it has all the logos on the bag and, really went out and I'm really standing out. The media kit's done, everything's done. And so it's just about game time when it's there,
So other than obviously, you're not selling product. What do you think is the biggest difference between the display, like I'd say at a convention versus something like that? Is it the money that you're spending for some of these things? Or are you looking at this differently? Like, are you going to bring some of that to, say, a convention look to make it look the same way?
It's very different because here you're not presenting to sell. You're presenting you want to showcase everything. Mm-hmm. So the setup has to be where everything's on risers and everything's on stands to be able to showcase it. Where at the convention, you can stack flat, brah, 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 because you're selling them. Bum, bum, just grab one. Bum, 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 bum. So it's very different, and you just got the backdrop behind you. So here's really, it's almost like a boutique. Like, when you go in the holidays and you go to like a Macy's or a Marshall's and they got that, when you open, you go in the entrance, they got that Christmas table set up, and it stacks high. Mm-hmm. Similar to that. That's basically what it is. It's like everything's got to be face forward. Boom, boom, boom. I'll have a QR code on the table that'll direct everybody to the website. So when they just, boom, they want to check out the website. What's great is that I also have every single book that's every brand product that I'm taking out there. I'll have the PDF download already, the links already ready. So when they say, hey, can I see this on a PDF? Boom. I can send it to them right there. Here's the link. Boom, 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 boom. And I can I have all the links on my phone and just here, boom. Yeah, so it's really trying to be proactive, but I think the display is really about creating a visual presentation that's impactful, that represents everything that's on the walls. Because every book that's represented on the table is on the wall on a graphic, a 2.5-foot Is it, it is 12, 24, 36. It's a 3 foot by 90, 91 inches tall. So 8.5 feet tall graphic. And I have 10 graphics. So every single thing is going to be represented there. So the biggest thing is to make sure that what they see on the wall, they see on the table. And then everything is also in the media kit. Boom. Yeah. So they want information. You know, what ages are, here's a press kit. It has everything. Demographic, age groups, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a different animal. It's a different animal. Right. And I think that, you know, it's funny because the way you describe it, it's something that maybe at a convention, I have yet to see that from an indie. Usually the big setups, like what you're talking about, are from Marvel, DC, Marvel. Image. Yeah. You know, they'll, because they have the space. They have more of the space. Yeah. We usually at a convention, you'll get a 6 foot table. If you want to pay for a booth, you can. But even those 8x10 booths, for some reason, seem a little smaller at conventions than they do at a show like this. And I think it's because of the high ceilings and how much room you have around you as well. You're not just crammed into that space. So I wonder if some of that display or some of the things that you're thinking, you can incorporate into, say, a convention and stand out there. So that
the great thing is that I'll have those backdrops, and I could take those backdrops with me, and I could take three at a time. Because, you know, you know, if I have an 8 foot table, I can have three of those graphics. But I think if you're at a Comic Con, if you want to stand out, you need to be standing.
Oh, big time.
Because your peers are all sitting down. You need to be standing. And I think the best thing, the best place to be standing is in the aisle in front of your table. Mm-hmm. You know, and because you want to engage them as they come around and then have something to hand out, whether it's a bookmark, whether it's a postcard, have something that's like, hey, boom, check out my book when you get a chance. Boom, hit, there's a QR code, Bob, you know, hit my website, blah, 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 you know, and try to make it as easy and seamless as possible for the experience, because everybody has a watch on and they got things they want to get done at an event. And if you were not on their list and they're stopping out of courtesy, you want to be able to capture that moment, make it impactful. And again, I said it earlier before, try not to, if because there's a lot of awkward creators, independent creators who are very awkward, socially awkward. Don't be yourself. Come out the box. Be extra. Have fun. Try to have fun. Try to smile. Put put the Sam sandwich down, right? You know, wipe your mouth. Stand up. Have fun. Do your commissions at home. You know, it's like, go out there and engage them and be different from everybody else, because you're going to see the ones that are making the noise, the ones that are laughing, having fun, talking to the people, you know, working it. I'm not going to give everything away because there's some things I want to test at the Fan Expo. Yeah. But, you know, you want to, I saw something. It was interesting. Rob Liefeld just posted on Facebook. He said he was at an event and it was a dud. He can't keep doing these dud events. And I'm like, he's Rob Liefeld. How can it be a dud for him? Right? Is it a point where you just expect the crowd to come to you? Or, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a point where you meet a status and you're like, I'm Rob Liefeld. But I think what happens is, you know, today, I don't think there's a nostalgia behind the creator unless it's an animation creator. It's somebody behind a series on TV or it's a gaming developer. It's hard because I don't see that many rock star creators anymore.
You know, big shout out to Rob Liefeld and all the guys, obviously, at Image. But you know, sometimes you gotta just keep it real, right? Like, as good as Rob was and as great as Rob was at that time, right? I don't know that he has the same impact today with comic book readers. You know Rob Liefeld. I know Rob.
Right, it's about relevance.
Because we grew up in the 90s, right? But today, Todd McFarlane has stayed relevant because, you know, he's got his YouTube video. He's got Spawn. You know, he's got the toys. So, you know, everybody knows Todd. Todd father, right?
Because Todd is a rebel. But Todd is like, he's like Motley Crue.
No, yeah, definitely. And but you also have Jim Lee. Jim Lee's not a rebel, but Jim Lee has worked for DC for a very long time. His covers are iconic. His artwork is incredible. He's been relevant. He stayed in the, you know, he stays doing what he does. He'll do a cover and, you know, people will love that cover. So whereas Rob, and I don't know, I don't follow him on Instagram. Maybe you do know more because I didn't even know that he was at a show on Facebook. So I don't follow him like that. But I think that sometimes even, and look, it just goes to show you, right? Even a name like that can't just rest on his laurels and think everybody's going to come to him.
No, so I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, what Todd's running a business, Jim Lee is a top executive responsible for the success of Batman and leading the helm at DC. And so they've been in there where Rob's been doing a lot of freelance.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So he where I think what he should have done, if it was my opinion, would have been, I would have done what Todd did. I would have focused on a brand, whether it was Youngblood, whether it was Profit. Right. You know, I would have picked a property and just made that my focus throughout the years. I think he's just been doing a lot of freelance stuff. So when
what has he been doing?
He's done some one shots here and there and some cover work and all that other stuff and you know, short runs. But a lot of it is just, you know, banking on Deadpool and all that other stuff. And I think if I was him, I would have continued with the book.
Right.
And stayed relevant because people are finicky, you know, out of sight, out of mind. And nostalgia's not going to be there again. Nah,
You know, what have you, you know, they've been saying this for a long, what have you done for me lately? Like that's what it is. It doesn't, that doesn't stop. That doesn't change.
No. You know? I think he started a podcast. I don't even know if he continued with it, you know? So, you know, I think, you know, everybody thinks a podcast is easy and it's not. And it takes a lot of time. So I got to follow up. I don't know if he continued. But same thing happened with, you know, Jeff Smith and Bone. You know what he stood behind the series. I think the problem with that is that you know, you see statistically, you showed me that video about how you know, the kids books, kids properties are outperforming standard comics. I don't see it. I see kids animation, you know, popping off. I'm not seeing it in publication, at least not in comics. You know, I think
I think they were talking about, because floppies are dying slowly. I think what they were talking about was the books. Like if you go to a bookstore, Barnes and Nobles, you know, you get Scholastic has, because even a character like Miles Morales, the comic book doesn't sell as well as the Scholastic book that they print, the graphic novel that they print.
Right.
It's the same character. It's just the comic isn't selling. So. You know, I think that part, you know, again, going back to our conversation, I'll end it on this because, you know, we're running a little over. But I think that you use technology. I'll just say that. QR codes, you know, Venmo, PayPal, you know, Cash App. Use those things. Use them because people will come to the table. Yeah, people will come to the table and say, I don't have any cash. Because people don't like to carry cash at some of these places. They have a card and they'll just charge everything. So, or you know, they obviously have a bank account. So make sure that you use technology to help you out in those situations.
Yes. Yeah. I see our guest is in the radio room.
Yeah.
But I will give you this one tip, youngins out there.
Youngins.
It all depends on what app you have, right? So whatever category you create, like for instance, if you have six different titles on your table that you're selling, each one of them should have its own QR code that direct them to be able to use their Cash App right there. Boom. Scan it. And they can start getting paid automatically without having to go through all the rigmarole. So when you create, like, say, for instance, like Forbidden issue number one, $5, blah, blah. The app that you're using allows you to create a QR code for that so they can just scan that and pay those $5. And then I would have a sheet with, like, if you have bundles, if you want this bundle, boom, scan that, and it makes it easy for them. You want to try to find ways to make it easy for the consumer so that way they can just get it and go, because they don't want to stand there and be your best friend. They just want to get the comic and keep it moving and go see who they came here to see.
No, but you know what? If you're a good salesman, they will become your best friend. Like if you're, you know what I mean? If you're engaging them, we had situations where people just loved chatting with us the whole time because we were just engaging in them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because you can't look at them as just people who are going to buy stuff. I think you have to create something when you're out there. That's the whole point of being live with people. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Now that could be a topic for another day.
Yeah. So if you have any comments about this episode, please let us know on this segment of Get Your Meds. Put your comments in the summary below.
Yeah.
And we're going to remind you why you should be using Cash to Create to promote your campaign. And then when we come back, we're going to talk to our special guest.
Do you have a Kickstarter campaign and you're trying to figure out how do you get the word out? You look online and you see the competition is fierce. Comic cons are slowly coming back, but in the meantime, how do you spread the word? You worked for hours creating your campaign. you post on as many social media sites as possible, trying to get the word out to no avail. Well, look no further. Why not sponsor an episode of Cash the Craze Podcast, the fastest growing indie podcast in the market today? That 30-second promo can get you an extra 2 to 3 backers or more. Who knows? Let's go. Hit the link below and get one step closer to a successful campaign.
Hello, Mr. Bravo. Welcome to Cast the Craze.
You go.
Hey, guys.
What's up,
bro? Happy to be here. We finally hooked up. This is exciting.
Yeah, brother. Welcome. Listen, welcome to Cast the Craze. Thank you so much for coming on, man. I haven't seen you in years, bro, but I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're doing well.
Yeah, man. Holding it down, playing it safe, you know? It's been a blessing not to have to share any horror stories.
Oh, yeah. No, I hear
it's
you.
All good.
I hear you, dude. I hear you. That's Sam. I know you probably never met Sam, but that's Sam Vera, Hugo Bravo, here on the show. So, Hugo, let's just start real quick by just telling the audience, you know, just a brief, you know, I don't want to say history because I don't want to keep you here for 30 minutes telling us your history, but tell us a little bit about yourself and just introduce yourself to the crowd.
Yeah. Hi. So my name is Hugo Bravo and I'm a fantasy illustrator. My strengths are with oil painting, traditionally, also with a pencil. My art focuses more on the human figure as opposed to like landscapes or objects or creatures. And I've been drawing and painting all my life, as most artists have. Yeah. But I also have two other brothers and a sister. And my two brothers are also artistically inclined as well as me. And coincidentally, we're all just 1 year behind each other. And at one point, we were all going to school at the same time at FIT.
Nice. So
people were tripping on how there was like three brothers who were like all artists.
Yeah,
you know, so that was quite an interesting experience. So very passionate about my art. I try to like do what I can on the side of basically having the 9 to 5, and having had a chance through Comic-Con to network with guys like yourselves is definitely, you know, very inspiring and motivational.
Yeah,
because as other artists are, you know, generating and producing their own, you know, projects and properties, it inspires oneself to be like, oh, you know, what can I bring to the table and stuff like that. So it's definitely been a good source for that. So it's kind of like pretty much it, you know.
Yeah,
a lot of stuff in between. But
where did you grow up, Hugo? You're from New York?
Well, I was born in Colombia.
Oh, okay.
And my parents brought us here when we were very little, so we did all our schooling here. In New York. So basically, I tell people, you know, I'm more American than Colombian.
Yeah.
But she did raise us bilingual, so I can read and write Spanish, speak Spanish. So thank God for that.
Yes.
And whatchamacallit. But yeah, here in New York, home base, you know, the whole time.
Yeah. FIT, that's a trip. So I'm you know, talk to us a little bit about the process. Yeah, listen, you're an immigrant kid from Colombia, right? And you're an artist. You have these aspiring dreams. Tell us about that just getting into FIT, for example, because, you know, a lot of kids think, hey, man, I'm not familiar. You know, sometimes, hey, listen, you know, the paper situation, you know, being
right.
You know,
all right. Well, like I got good content for that. The answer to that question.
Yeah.
So after high school, I did 4 years in the Marine Corps. So I did the military thing. And then when I got out, I was telling my younger brother, hey, I want to pursue the arts. You know, I'm thinking maybe SVA, one of the high-end schools in that way. And he was currently at FIT. And he said, dude, come over here. It's a state school. It's a lot cheaper. And it's just as good. So I didn't bother to research to kind of like contradict all he was saying. I simply said, all right, bet. Let me head over there.
Yeah.
So when I met with the counselors over there, now to your point about the paperwork, they said to me, are you ready for this? You know, I did the portfolio presentation and all of that. But when it came to the finances, the lady's like, so, you know, how do you plan on paying? And I'm like, I don't know. What do you, well, I don't know. And she goes, well, you knew you were coming here, right? I go, yeah. And then, I was in the military where they give you room and board, the food, the uniform. You don't have to buy clothes.
Right.
So as a young kid from 18 to 22, I was just like spending.
Oh.
You know, I didn't think of saving anything. So check this out. So that's when she said, hey, you know what? Don't worry. We're going to fill out this form right here. And I said, okay, so what's that about? She goes, this is called drastic change of income. So I went from having all this money in the service to having nothing. But she goes, there's a form for that. You know, let's fill it out. So that's when I learned about stuff like Pell Grant, right. And I think it's called TAP or TPA, and all these other like little money that you can get, mm-hmm. you know, from the government or even the state and stuff like that here and there.
Dude,
my mom lived out in Long Island, and to close out the topic of getting in, due to these like financial resources, I was able to get tuition paid and live at the dorms. Live at the dorms and eat at the cafeteria.
Nice.
So I was just like, yo, why isn't everyone lining up to come in here? You know, I realized that the money you have, the more they give you. So, you know, I'm like, damn, this is great.
Yeah.
So whether it was a blessing or whatever, but I was able again, did 4 years there.
Yeah. Wow. But you know what? You took advantage of that, and you did great. You did well by it. I mean, today, and I know this because I know you. You work in I'm not gonna say the industry, but you do your artwork as your source of income, right? Like you work at a place where you design things, right?
Let me just clear this part out. Like I did 4 years at FIT. I majored in illustration, mm-hmm. so painting, drawing, and stuff like that. This was 88 to 92. So graphics was just kind of coming onto the scene in the sense of like a schooling scenario, you know, because the Mac and all of that just had its premiere several years ago prior to that, and Photoshop was just coming into play, mm-hmm. and stuff. So by the time I got out, the graphics curriculum and program was just beginning to show itself. So I got out of college, and you know, unless you're working for Disney, there's really no jobs where you're painting and drawing all day.
True.
So I noticed that the computer was the it thing. So with friends who started buying their little square iMacs, if you remember.
Yeah.
You know, Apple II and that kind of thing. I began simply asking, yo, so what happens if you click here? How do you do this? And how do you do that? And self-taught the graphics part. To the point where I developed enough confidence to get my own computer and then really dive in to trial and error. And I mean, YouTube wasn't even a thing back then. Nah, so I couldn't go to YouTube and stuff like that. So with that curious mind, with the help of friends and stuff like that, I've been able to develop that skill where my 9-to-5 today is doing graphics work within the children's apparel industry, doing what they call licensed apparel in the swimwear. So for like little boys, I'll put Batman, Superman on a shirt, and on a swim trunk. And that's pretty much the 9-to-5. Yeah. But on the side, I got my hustle with my art.
Sure.
And it's all traditional. I don't do any digital work when it comes to my art. I do the digital for the 9-to-5 graphics and that kind of thing. So, yeah, man. So, you know, FIT, pretty much what it did was what I was telling people, it focused my art in a direction in the sense of professionalism and career.
Yeah.
But, you know, it isn't really how I'm earning a living through illustration.
That's interesting. Yeah.
You know, you learn that it's freelance and independent projects and things like that.
And networking, right? So you had to learn how to network. You had to learn how to do all of that stuff.
Yeah. That was the other valuable thing out of the college experience, because there you are with a graduating class, all about to go out into the field and expand and, you know, developing those relationships will help you down the line for like opportunities and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I've met, you know, great friends and stuff that I still have friends today from that time. And they're all aspiring artists doing their thing. So, and it just helps you develop the talk so that when you're out there, you know, you can sound legit and you know what you're doing.
It's true. It's true.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So talk about yeah, because I looked at your portfolio and your website. I mean, your work is fantastic. So talk about the influences, and there's a lot of fantasy based illustrations, and so what was some of the influence behind it, and what was it that appealed to you?
All right, well, you know, while I was in the military, I came across Frazetta, so you know, it was like, you know, from 18 to 22, that was when they put out these series of books that Frazetta you know, with his artwork. And I was like, wow, man, look at the energy, look at the colors, the composition. And that sparked that fantasy curiosity into that type of genre. And then I discovered Boris. So Boris and Frazetta, two strong pillars of inspiration. But then through college and art history, man, that's when it really got good, because of like Michelangelo, Caravaggio, Leonardo, you know, the Ninja Turtles. You know what I mean? So that kind of like made me realize, yo, man, it's not just modern guys. This stuff goes back. Mm. And it was that style of art, the Renaissance, that really got me, as opposed to like the Roman and all these other type of Byzantine, whatever periods. The Renaissance really got me, because it was the, I guess you could say, the glorification of the human figure. They were all painting the human figure. Yeah. And then seeing how they were achieving these things without any photo reference and whatnot, I was like blown away.
Right.
So, you know, that inspired more and more the curiosity. And to this day, I just totally enjoy the challenges of like painting a figure or even a portrait, you know, more so than even like a dragon or like a landscape. Like somehow that, and I'm very, you know, proportional, very realistic, just right. like those guys, you know. I'm not caricature. Right. I don't distort the figure. So, you know, I gravitate to that. So
right.
the inspirations were that.
Yeah.
And, no. You know, and film and comics and all of that, pulling from different areas, you know, the inspiration.
Yeah, no, Hugo, and for those who are watching, this is Catch the Craze. We're talking to Hugo Bravo, incredible, incredible artist. I know that you have a lot of pieces, and you do, like you were saying, you do a lot of realistic artwork. And listen, we're going to have you like on a live show, because I want to show some of those videos that you have. Because he's got video. He's got this one video of Johnny Depp as Captain Jack Sparrow. It's sped up, so you can see. But the amount of detail that was a commission. But the amount of detail you throw into your figures, how long does it take you to do a piece? Because I know you paint. So like, if you're commissioned, if somebody said, "Hey man, I want to get one of those Hugo Bravo pieces," how long does that something like that take you to do?
I guess, you know, taking into account life and all the stuff you deal with, nine to five, et cetera, the weekends and whatnot. If I was to just sit in a cave and just crank it out, I could say, you know, with the research, the photo reference and the drawing and the this and that, I probably could deliver like within like a 30-day period, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. You know, but it's not because I paint in oils and I got to wait for stuff to dry. I paint very thin. And I use medium, so it's pretty much dry to the touch the following day, you know. But some of the time consistency comes from the challenges I like giving myself with trying to achieve certain textures, certain surfaces like metal on armor or hair on hair, you know, actual hair, or does this thing look like glass? So I would do a lot of research to see, you know, how other guys do it. Because nowadays, since we're out of school, we don't have a teacher challenging us with projects. Right. So we have to challenge ourselves so that we can grow. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you're doing the same thing all the time, I mean, that's all you'll be, is that one thing. Mm-hmm. But I like challenging myself with each new piece, try to put something in there that I haven't done before and be like, man, so how am I going to make this thing look real and develop and explore and experiment?
Yeah.
So, you know, that contributes to like the lengthiness of time. But if it was just a straight up portrait, I mean, you know, give it to me on a Monday, I'll give it to you by Sunday, you know, like.
Wow, that's really cool.
You know, yeah. But the Jack Sparrow, now that you mentioned it, really challenged me on the rendering of hair. Mm. Because prior to the Jack Sparrow piece, if you look at a lot of my artwork, you'll see that the hair, the figures, first of all, aren't as big as the Jack Sparrow, the face. But the hair and all these other figures are more like blocks of color.
Right.
You don't see the actual follicle and the texture and all of that. But because this portrait of Jack Sparrow was just the face cropped about here, and it's just face, I knew that besides the likeness, that hair was going to play a big part of being able to say, wow, it looks great. Mm-hmm. So he had the challenge because that guy has dreads. Yeah. He's got braided hair, and he's got loose hair.
Oh.
So I was just like, wow. And I feel really proud of that piece because that was my, you know, school of hard knocks for hair. Now going forward, you're going to see some hair on my figures. Because now I've learned how to render it, how to give it that life, that fluffiness and that follicle feel, you know? Because prior to that, I was always scared it might end up looking like a mop where all the follicles are very thick and heavy. But with the Jack Sparrow, and just to let you know, the video's on my Instagram. So if anyone visits that, Hugo Bravo Artist on Instagram, they'll see the video and, you know, they can see what we're talking about.
Yeah.
But yeah, so like I said, each piece I try to challenge myself so I can grow. Because, you know, it's not like the phone's ringing with projects. So I got to give them on to myself. Yeah. And I don't just want to do the easy thing. I try to, like, you know, impose those challenges and, you know, hopefully succeed with that.
Yeah. I know that you sold a piece on Sotheby. So, you know,
tell us
a little bit about that accomplishment, because that's huge. That is a huge accomplishment.
Oh, man. Yo, that it's, you know, I have several phrases for that. It's a Cinderella story. It's one of those, hey, you never know, and that kind of thing. So what it was is, back in 94, I was part of an art collective, and the main guy, photographer Daniel Hastings, he was doing a lot of photographing of CD covers for hip-hop, R&B artists. And he came across the opportunity to do the cover for a rapper called Jeru the Damager. Mm-hmm. Now, he was big underground. Now, I never heard of him, so I decided to listen to some of the songs to try to get some inspiration. Because I was given full rein as to, like, yo, see what you can come up with.
This was in the 90s, right, Hugo?
Yeah, 94.
Were you a hip-hop fan? Were you a fan of hip-hop at all? Oh, you were, okay.
Definitely. So, as I listened to the tracks, there was this one song called Come Clean, and one of the lines in that song said something like, don't rattle the wrath of this rhyme inventor, because I can blow up spots like the World Trade Center. And I'm like, holy cow. Mm. Back then in 94, I was like, geez, man, that sounds crazy.
Right.
At the time, I didn't make the connection, but recently I read that what inspired him was the attempted bombing in 93.
Right. One in the base
tower.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So that's how he came up with that. But at that moment when I was with the project, I didn't make that connect. I was just caught up with the words and the visual. And I was like, wow, man, you know, that sounds bananas. Let's work on that.
Right.
So I developed a sketch where I was showing New York, like in ruins, like kind of after an apocalypse. So like the Brooklyn Bridge is collapsed, Statue of Liberty's floating in the river.
Yeah.
And in the World Trade Center, I had one of the towers on fire.
It's eerie, bro. How like,
yeah.
Yes.
So when my boy calls me up, getting out to the Sotheby's thing, and he says to me, yo, I've been invited to participate in an auction with other artists with my stuff from my rich history of photography and stuff like that. Do you still have the painting that we did for Jeru the Damager? And I said, yeah, sure. So he was surprised because here it is 30 years later.
Damn, and you had that painting?
Yeah. I said, yo, I have it there in a portfolio case, like doing nothing. And so he was blown away by that. And I was like, what's up? He goes, yo, we can make it a part of this thing and this, that, or the other, and other. So it turns out that we learned that auctions happen in two ways, online and in person, where you see, like in the movies, they raise the number, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So this one was going to be online. So because it was online, it ran for a week, sort of like an eBay auction. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it turns out that he was auctioning a photo print of the artwork along with my painting. And he happened to have the original sketch.
Oh, wow.
That I did. So it was three pieces being auctioned. And there was, man, in Sotheby's, along with some other hip hop paraphernalia and stuff like that. And the deadline came and someone actually went ahead and they purchased it.
That's awesome.
You know, and it went well. But, you know, it was just like the coincidence on so many levels, you know, the whole 9/11 thing, having the artwork after 30 years. Him reaching out, telling me, look, there's this opportunity. And I'm like, whoa, like,
that's fantastic.
You know, you never know. So that's, you know, that was the story with that.
That's incredible. Awesome. That's incredible. You know,
look, it's I got the CD.
That's the CD cover, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Nice. So I talk about it on the Instagram so people can check it out.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
But yeah, it was, you know, so now coming away from that, I was like, damn, man, I feel like Bansky or something, you know?
What's your next piece I'm gonna sell? Let's do this.
Yeah, you know, so feeling very fortunate, very blessed to, you know, like I really, like I said, I'm passionate about my art and I totally want to continue it to see where it takes me, what doors open up, and collaborations like this, conversation right here. It's, you know, it's the second one I've ever done. You know what I mean? So it's it's like, wow.
We're going to have you on, dude, because 30 minutes is not enough to talk about everything you do. Because you have Vision Illustrated, which, you know, I definitely want to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Short on time. But we want to have you, like, on a live show, because I definitely want to show some of the stuff that you're doing. Because this is so interesting. I think people who appreciate good art will definitely appreciate just your having work. You live. You know what I mean?
Yeah, your work is fantastic.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And one of the things I'm very passionate about, too, is, you know, is giving back or you know, I mean, not to say it's to the level of like teaching, but, you know, I like going to the Comic-Con, setting up the art table at the Artist Alley and talking to fans, asking questions, answering them, you know, very, very people person, you know. Mm-hmm. So this is so cool, you know. Yeah, I'm grateful for the opportunity.
We got to do it again, brother. But before we let you go, just tell people where they can find you. I know you mentioned your Instagram, and obviously it's going to be in the show notes. But just tell them, you know, where they can find you, your website, things like that before we
Yeah, so basically my website's called HugoBravoArtist.com. And on Facebook, it's the same thing, Facebook/HugoBravoArtist. And on Instagram as well, HugoBravoArtist.
That's awesome, dude. Look at that. Look at that freaking Arnold Schwarzenegger piece, bro.
It's crazy.
Holy cow. Crazy. Yeah, now we're going to have you back, Hugo. We're going to talk about Vision Illustrated the next time you come on. But thank you so much for coming on, my man. We're definitely going to do this again.
Yeah, awesome, guys. You know, I enjoy the show. I like checking out your format's really cool. I like how you break into the, like, different, you know, subject matters like the morning tea or whatever. You know, it's growing. I see how it's growing.
Yeah, we're trying.
You know,
man.
I like when you transmit live from the different shows, you know, the Comic-Cons and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it takes a lot. I mean, it's such a huge effort to you know, pull this stuff off. So I commend you for the consistency, because it's like so many shows, so many years.
Dude, we've been doing this for a while now.
It's impressive, you know? So, you know, best of luck with the show, and, you know, we'll keep seeing what comes down the pipe.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, man. And you got the Calendly thing. So just, you know, we'll link up. We'll do it again.
Yes.
Yeah, for sure, man. I'll be down.
All right, cool. Thanks, Hugo.
All right, fellas. Thank you. It's a pleasure. Later.
Yeah, brother. Oh, man.
Yes. So that was Hugo Bravo. I mean, his stuff is fantastic. Go check it out. The link is in the summary. If you have any feedback, put it in the chat. And if you like this episode, give us a thumbs up. If you haven't subscribed, please do so. If you're listening to us on Spotify or Google Play, wherever you're listening to us, head over to YouTube and subscribe to the channel, because when we grow, our guests grow, and it's more eyes on their creative endeavor. And we appreciate every one of you. Don't forget to pledge to the Adventures of Wonder Duck right now. It's all going on live. And sign up for There's an Alien in My Toilet.
Yes.
And if you back both campaigns, you'll get a free gift from me. With that said, I am your host with the most, the crazy man, Vera.
George the Gmo Medina.
And we are
it's just easy kids, that's not
crazy. Acquiesce.
No, I was talking about my friend Acquiesce. I met him.
Say my name,
This is what you were thinking? Oh,
he described me. He said, I'm the
Catch the Craze. You're listening to Catch the Craze. You are listening to Catch the Craze.
You're listening to Catch the Craze.
Girl.